4. Kel was already moving through his room when the judge's voice spilled through the ring, calling for a medic. He'd warned her. Over and over, he'd warned her. Kel had his knife in his hand before he reached the door to the second chamber, Hostra on his heels. Staff tried to block the way, but Kel was faster, stronger, and he was in the alcove before the guards could stop him. "Azstaro," he said, sealing the door shut behind him and drawing the symbol while Staff pounded on the wood. "Astasin!" The palace fell away, replaced by the tournament tent. "The victory goes to Rule," announced the judge, as Kel surged out of Kamarov's quarters and into Lila's. He got there as two attendants lowered her onto a sofa, a third working to undo her helmet. They started at the sight of him and went pale.
"Out," said Kel. "All of you."
The first two retreated instantly, but the third, a female priest, ignored him as she freed the hinged pieces of the demon's mask from Lila's head and set them aside. Beneath, her face was ghostly white, dark veins tracing her temples and twin streams of blackish red running from her nose. The priest rested a hand against her face, and a moment later her eyes fluttered open. A dozen oaths bubbled up, but Kel held his tongue. He held it as she drew a stilted breath and dragged herself into a sitting position, held it as she rolled her head and flexed her fingers and lifted a cloth to her nose.
"You can go, Easter," she said, wiping away the blood.
Kel held his tongue as long as he could, but the moment the priest was gone, he lost it.
"I warned you," he shouted.
Lila winced, touching a hand to her temple.
"I'm fine," she muttered.
Kel made a stifled sound.
"You collapsed in the ring."
"It was a hard match," she said, getting to her feet, trying and failing to hide her unsteadiness.
"How could you be so stupid?" he snapped, his voice rising. "You're bleeding black. You play with magic as if it were a game. You don't even understand the rules. Or worse, you decide there are none. You go stomping through the world doing whatever the hell you please. You're careless, senseless, reckless."
"Keep it down, you two," said Rai, striding in, Vis and Tolners at his back. "Kel, you shouldn't be here."
Kel ignored him and addressed the guards.
"Lock her up."
"For what?" growled Lila.
"Calm down, Kel," said Rai.
"For being an imposter,"
Lila scoffed.
"Oh, you're one to talk."
Kel slammed her back into the tent pole, crushing her mouth with his hand.
"Don't you dare!"
Lila didn't fight back. She went still as stone, mismatched eyes boring into him. There was a wildness to them, and he thought she might actually be afraid, or at least shocked. And then he felt the knife pressed against his side, and the look in her eyes said that if it weren't for Rai, she would have stabbed him. The prince held up his hand.
"Stasion," he said, addressing Lila as he took Kel's shoulder. "Please."
She lowered the knife, and Rai wrenched Kel backward with Tonus's help.
"You never listen. You never think. Having power is a responsibility, Lila, one you clearly don't deserve."
"Kel," warned Rai.
"Why are you defending her?"
he snapped, rounding on his brother.
"Why am I the only one in this fucking world to be held accountable for my actions?"
They just stared at him, the prince and the guards, and Lila, she had the nerve to smile. It was a grim, defiant smile, marred by the dark blood still streaking her face. Kel threw up his hands and stormed out. He heard the sound of Rai's boots on the cobbles coming after him, but Kel needed space, needed air. And before he knew what he was doing, he had the knife free from its sheath, the coins free from his collar. The last thing he heard before he pressed his bloody fingers to the nearest wall was Rai's voice calling for him to stop. But then the spell was on Kel's lips and the world was falling away, taking everything with it.